That's a little tap for my boys, no? Where you left via chap at? So now, poke chap, you get on side now. Let via chap get in y'all. There you come. I said, look at y'all, man. What's the matter with you? Oh, man, now you can do better than that, man. Let me see what you gonna do now. Oh, no, that ain't what you can do, man. Uh-huh, I told you, Poke Chop, you can beat him doing that. Now, watch for old Poke Chop now. Get over here, Poke Chop. Oh, look at old Poke Chop. Ain't that a clown, champ? Oh, man, now let me see what you can do now. Now, fly them over here. Oh, no, don't do that, man. You're going to make me mad now. Now let Via Chop get over there. Oh, no, look at old Via Chop.
Ann and Lee Reynolds, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Good evening. You're tuned into Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, hope you're having a good night and a great start to your Thanksgiving week, which that's the theme for tonight's show. Yes, Thanksgiving. We're all going to be thankful tonight. And I got a lineup of some great music just to fit the holiday season. Yes, it's that time of year in which we have to go over the river and through the woods to go see distant family and fill our refrigerators with leftovers. But there's, you know, I feel a lot to be thankful for. Apart from the chaos that brings us around the dinner table this time of year, I wanted to talk about the origins of Thanksgiving, which I'm sure we're all familiar with the Pilgrims and Squanto, you know, the first Thanksgiving on Plymouth Rock there. But I wanted to talk about the actual origins of the national holiday of Thanksgiving. It was first made a national holiday in 1863. Declared by President Abraham Lincoln during the height of the American Civil War. Lincoln felt that we needed a day of rest, a day of reflection, and, you know, just to be grateful for what we have and for our families and friends. So no matter what way you might be celebrating the holiday, with turkey, turducken, or even tofu, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving and hope that you are well. Getting into the tunes tonight on Garage Radio, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without Arlo Guthrie and Alice's Restaurant. Yes, the absolute classic 1960s folk song depicting the story of one fateful Thanksgiving. We'll be taking a listen to the entirety of the album, Alice's Restaurant. So, hey, hope you enjoy and have a happy Thanksgiving. Keep it tuned in here, Garage Radio.
Restaurant, it's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant, that's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fotch's a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. Said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened here. They got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years. And everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire, track, footprints, dog smelling prints. And they took 27 8x10 colored glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, "Kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt." And I said, "Obie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for?" And he said, "Kid, we don't want any hangings." I said, "Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering?" Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. journalist came by with a few nasty words to Obie on the side. Bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church. Had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. And didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with a 27 8x10, covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, "All rise." We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the CNI dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice, and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. Got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in and sat down. Got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, "Kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, "Shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. Kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 Kill." And I started jumping up and down, yelling, "Kill. Kill." And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, "Kill. Kill." And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, "You're our boy. Feel too good about it." Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested?" I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped right there. I said, "Kid, did you ever go to court?" I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and stopped me right there and said, "Kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid." I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W, is where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench there. mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one day was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." I said, "What were you arrested for, kid?" And I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there, and a hairy eyeball, all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, "And creating a nuisance." And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things, until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 sentences, 58 words. We want no details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got 17, 20 about the crime. Want to know the arresting officer's name and else kind of thing. You got to say and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words: "Kid, you rehabilitated yourself." I went over to the sergeant and said, "Sergeant, you got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. 'Cause you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug." He looked at me and said, "Kid, you don't like your kind. We're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is 'cause you may know somebody in a similar situation, or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do, is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in, say, 'Shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant,' and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is, the Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
That was horrible. One end Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud. Or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. Accepting Alice, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, and just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Thank you.
Hardin got busted for doing the ring around a rosy rag. Went in the park late at night and he pulled a lot of people over 80 uptight. He was doing the ring around a rosy rag. Officer Joe Strange, summer's barely in mountain range, so we all can do the ring around the rosy rag. Would you like to put Philadelphia type one as a ring around the rosy in the middle of the night? Yes, we all should do the ring around the rosy rag. Going home. crashing down like it had known. It's going home. Sunrise early in the dawn slips away and then it's gone, leaves the night to carry on while it's going home. Once a man, he lived and died. What he said, death could not hide. Even though it's often tried, but he was going home. And this love will live to grow, and I want you all to know I'm going home. said I may be back again. Meantime, I'll keep sailing down my highway in the wind. Evenings just begin the day.
Right, you're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, hope you're having a good night. We were just listening to Arlo Guthrie and the entirety of his album, Alice's Restaurant, in celebration of, well, Thanksgiving. And I got a lot of great more music to sort of round off the hour here, all in the theme of turkey. So make sure you stick around right after these quick messages. Garage Radio, keep it tuned in here.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson, formerly of Mystery Science Theater 3000 until I got fired. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM, which is a heck of a lot better than having the top of your head sawed off and having vinegar poured in.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog with an important message. Before you think about buying counterfeit products, think again. You're smart, buy smart, go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
One in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us don't know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we work every day to eliminate stigma and advance mental health. Visit MentallyHealthyNation.org to learn more.
Over a million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, hope you're having a good night and, well, a happy Thanksgiving week to you, the start of the holiday season. Keeping in the theme of Thanksgiving, up next I have a gospel artist by the name of Shirley Caesar with her song, You Name It. So keep it tuned in here, Garage Radio Thanksgiving special.
Wanna tell you a story now. securing a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But all of a Sunday morning, they opened the doors of that old dead church. His hands were gone. When they turned the hands are loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, we're going to John's house. potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it!
Gospel choir performing the song You Name It. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, hope you've had a good night, enjoyed some of the music I've been playing. And well, I wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. No matter how you may celebrate it, I hope you have a wonderful night and a wonderful week, and you know, able to relax a little bit here as we go into the holiday season. To wrap up the night, I've got a special track from the Mr. Adam Sandler to come. Also have a little jazz from Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. But up next, didn't think of a better song to, well, sort of end off the show. Here is Sly and the Family Stone. And they just want to say thank you for letting me be myself. This has been Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, hey, thanks for listening.
Tonight we start what we hope will become a weekend update tradition. Every Thanksgiving from now on, a different SNL performer will compose and sing an original song to commemorate the holiday. We couldn't think of a better person to begin this tradition than our own Adam Sandler.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. All right, Adam, are you ready?
Yes, I am, Kevin. I've worked all week on my song, and I hope you'll be entertained and a little moved. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat so good. A turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey, turkey D, turkey, turkey dap. I eat the turkey and I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with the gravy and the cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that was strawberry. Turkey for you and a turkey for me. Can't believe. A gobble gobble ducky. I used to go to camp at Lake Winnipesaukee. Come on, Kevin.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Okay.
A turkey for me and a turkey for you. Let's feed the turkey in a big brown shoe.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
RCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.